Appreciate Louis, and it's been great to get to know him over the past little while. He brings a lot of maturity, spiritually and otherwise. And be sure to pick up your packets for the annual meeting in 2 weeks and read those through with the budget and different things like that. And it's our hope that as we vote together, that we'll choose to have Louis as an elder serving beginning in January of 2015. So we just really appreciate him, his life, his testimony, how God's brought him here. And we have such a great elders board with such a diverse bunch. So we're very blessed to have these people as our leaders. So Louis' testimony, Louis' story is really where we're headed in Galatians today. And again, seeing God work together everything just knitting it together just so. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Galatians chapter 3. We're jumping into chapter 3. We've been going through a series called Jesus Plus Nothing, looking at the gospel that the Galatian church, a pagan church, a non-Jewish church, had some Jewish people coming into it telling the Gentile believers that they need to become Jews first before they need to follow Jesus. And Paul is writing to say, no, look, Jesus doesn't need your help, okay? Jesus plus nothing is the gospel. It's the truth. It's the life. It's the way. Last year, I had a faith and life-altering experience at a 9-day conference or retreat, if you'd call it that, just locally here through our denomination called Key Concepts. And it was focused around discipleship, about discipling, making disciples who make disciples. And consequently, I've changed a lot of the ways I minister, the ways I live, how I spend my time, how I spend my prayer life. One day during a session, as we were learning about the glory of God, something I'd really forgotten, and if you're interested, just do a Bible search on God's glory, even the word. It's everywhere. We exist to glorify God, not the opposite. And I'd kind of forgotten that, and God got a hold of me, and he asked me some questions in the bottom of my heart, really in my soul. Questions like, look, have you forgotten to live for my glory? Have you forgotten about the power of my spirit in and through you? Have you forgotten that it's me who does the work? I think I'd reached a point where I kind of felt like I was on top of it all. And I thought through good principles and teaching and regular Bible reading and, if I go to the right conferences and I learn the right things, I can just make happen in my life what I need to make happen. Kind of like following Jesus without Jesus. I know all the steps I need to do and I can make this work. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't something I meant to do. I didn't mean to shove God off to the side. But God was really saying, did you forget that all this, all who you are, everything I've done in you, did you forget that it's me? It's not you. It's not you at all. When you get out of the way, when you rest, when you stop striving, when you let me in, remember, if you know a book of Revelation, it says Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He says, anyone who lets me in, I'll come in. I'll come in. And that's written to Christians. Okay, that's not written to non-Christians. And Jesus was standing at the door of my heart saying, hey, did you forget? Did you kick me out? And Paul says the exact same thing. We need those moments. Paul asks a bunch of rhetorical questions in these first 9 verses of chapter 3. We need those times when God gets a hold of us and gets really personal, and he asks the questions that we need asked in our hearts. And Paul, God is speaking through Paul to the Galatian churches, and I think he's speaking to us as well and asking us these questions. And this morning, my invitation to you is that you would take the questions as seriously as if they were penned for you. God through Paul to you. And maybe in your heart, the Holy Spirit puts a different spin on it. Maybe there's something specific that's there, but it's my hope and my prayer that this morning you'll really hear what God is saying to you. And for the Galatians and for you and for me, the question was about faith, about belief. So before we even jump in, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith comes down to not just belief, but trust and control. Okay, trust and control. It's being confident of what we hope for. What do we hope for? We hope exactly as Louis said, you know, as he was wrestling through, is Christianity true? Is following Jesus the way? Is Jesus the way, the truth, the life? Are the promises of Scripture true? Will he and is he and can he actually transform me, my neighbors, my family, the world around me? Is he that powerful to do all those things? Faith is being confident that those things I hope for, both in this life and the promises for eternity, are true. Faith is also the assurance. So being sure of what we don't see. You can't see God. But Jesus said, look, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can't see and touch God. Part of our vision is we want to breathe and touch God. Our desire is to have such passionate, close relationships to God that it's as if we can see him and touch him, that he's that real. It's that assurance that it's there. It's rooted deep. He's real and he's active and he's moving in our lives. Do we believe big enough things of God? I think our prayers and our lives are way too small most of the time. And I'll sign up for that. That's me. Oftentimes, way too small. What I pray for, what I think God can accomplish through me, through our church, in my neighborhood, in this community, often are Jeremy-sized dreams, Jeremy-sized prayers, Jeremy-sized faith. But faith is being sure of the things we can't see, confident in the stuff we can't explain. And living a life of faith means I'm seeing God do God stuff all around me, and sometimes my only answer is, meh. I prayed, and God did it. That's faith. Paul writes to the Galatians, beginning in chapter 3. And remember, it's kind of hard sometimes when we're looking in chapters and verses. We take it in chunks. This was a letter that had some continuity to it. So I encourage you, if you haven't read it through, read it through. It won't take you long. Read it through a few times. It gives you better perspective. Oh, foolish Galatians. What a wonderful way to start. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Paul is pulling no punches. Remember, these people were likely pagans, would have, some of them at least, come from idol worship and possibly some forms of witchcraft. He's in effect saying, are you back to following that again? You say you're a Christian, you say you're a follower of Jesus, but from your actions, your attitudes, and the reports I'm hearing, I think you're just following witchcraft again. Like, do you have a spell cast on you? You're being foolish. You know how it was you come to Jesus through faith. Louis said it well, that we are separated from God and we need to be restored. And it's through that faith and belief. It's as real to you as if you saw it yourself. Because Paul didn't see it, but for him, it was as if he had. On the road to Damascus, blinding light, God calls him. He was a full apostle, commissioned by Jesus. And for him, it was as if he was there and witnessed the crucifixion. Didn't matter if he didn't actually. And he says, look, as if it was painted in front of you, as if you actually saw it, you know these things to be true. Why are you so foolish? Verse 2, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed. You believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced, or another translation I put in brackets here, is suffered. That's a better way to translate that word. Have you experienced or suffered so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain. Remember, we're coming out of, you know, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. My old self, it's nailed to the cross. Last week, if you were here, we had the cross up here. Some of you came forward. Our old selves are there, and Paul's moving on from that. Did you begin following Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit because of anything you did? No? No? No. So why are you trying to live as if it's all up to you? It's all up to your actions. New life in Christ and the indwelling of God's Spirit happens because of what Jesus did and our belief in that. We believe that's true and it's appropriated to us when we believe, when we have faith. So, living for Jesus, following Jesus, get this, I know it's crazy, It's because of what Jesus does in us and through us every day and our belief in that. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in and through me. You know what God needs to say to me more? You know what he needs to say to you more? And you know what he needs to say to a lot of people a lot more? How foolish. Why are you so foolish? Jesus said it all the time. Why are you so dull? Sometimes we have this picture of Jesus, you know, with the little lamb and he's meek and mild. And then he's, you know, calling people a brood of snakes or, you know, get behind me, Satan. You're dull. He looks up at heaven. Why do I have to be with these people for so long? Why don't they get it? And God needs to say that to us sometimes because we're dull. We forget. We miss the point. We want to get all busy in our own activity, in our own religiosity. How foolish. After experiencing abundant life in Christ, after everything Jesus has done in and for and through you, are you going back to something that's way less? And I had to read that and I had to think that through myself because I can really empathize with where the Galatians are at. Can you? Because for me, my whole life, my testimony, Louis' story, is all God. I see God through it all. Saved at birth. I shouldn't have stayed alive. But through my mom's prayer and God's blessing, I did. When I was a young boy and sick, I saw angels. We shouldn't have had kids ever. We were told definitively, no kids for you. And we have three. I came with some problems and trouble, but each one of those issues and problems brought Stephanie and I closer and us closer to God. He foresaw it all, and he gave us everything we needed. God did it all. Miracles, leading us here, different churches, different times we didn't have money, different needs, vehicles, food, you name it, everything we need. But yet I'm still content to wake up in the morning, open my Bible, and feel good about myself because I've done my devotions. You ever there? You get there? We do, don't we? We do. Or I served at church, or I went to church consistently. I did 3 out of 4 Sundays. That would be good, right? And we rest in what we do. Do you know why? Because it feels really good. I'm an achiever, right? I'm driven. And I feel really good. So when I'm like journaling and I'm fasting and I'm reading a lot and I'm praying a lot, and I'm doing a lot of Christian stuff for God, I feel like I'm really living it. But guess what happens when I lean on myself that way? To the degree I feel good. And those things aren't bad, but those are a result of what God does in me. They're not so I can impress him. What happens to the degree that I do that, when I fail, when I fall, and it can be the smallest thing, my world comes crumbling down around me because I'm not leaned on Jesus, I've leaned on me. And the only person I have left to run to is me. And so what do I do? What do you do? What do we all do? We do twice as much for God. So I want to read more Bibles, or I really got to go to this conference or read this book or listen to this MP3. I got to do. And God says, listen, you come to me. All you who are weary, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want to give you rest and blessing and peace and joy. But I said last week, I'll say it again, if you don't get these things that Paul's saying early on in Galatians, submission, our old self is gone, faith, then when we get to walking by the Spirit up in Galatians 5 and 6, you'll just try on those behaviors, love and joy and peace and all these things, as if it's something you can do or something you can mimic. And you might feel good for a while, but your faith will be dead and empty. And God's saying to you, and he's saying to me, I have something deeper for you. It's by faith. He says in verse 5, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Did God do all those things in my life? Has he done all the things in your life because of your obedience? Can you come to Jesus broken? Yes. Can you follow him without knowing anything about Jesus? Yes. What'd they do in the Bible? People would hear the message of Jesus, they'd believe, they'd be baptized, and they'd be set off on a journey. They didn't have the full New Testament. They had part of the Bible. The Gentiles didn't even have that. They didn't even have that. Remember, Paul is saying they don't need that. You don't need that. Those things are good, and they add to, but you need to rely on faith. So does that mean we stop going to church, we don't read our Bibles, we don't pray, we don't do? We're going to get to obedience. What role do we actually play? But we need to understand that the main line of our activity is about resting and listening rather than striving and doing. Faith is about trust and control. Who's in control? Who do you trust? Do you really trust God to answer your prayers? Do you really trust God to tell you what to do? Did these miracles, did these things happen because you're obedient? God said, you're obedient, so I will bless you. Well, there's a little bit of that in there. You know, if you're not following him, oftentimes he's not going to pour out what he wants, or he's not going to ask you to do those things he's designed you for. So that it's convoluted sometimes. We see the behavior and we see the obedience and we assume that's what God's looking for. What he's looking for is what he's always been looking for, and that's exactly where Paul goes. Okay, verse 6. In the same way, you got to catch this. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. How many of you work in finances? How many of you like accounting, finances, stuff like that, okay? It's a financial term, okay? He counted you as righteous. So you've got a ledger over here and a ledger over here. Here's Abraham's bank account, and here's God. Through Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law, and he's perfectly righteous. And past, present, future time, doesn't matter when Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, what he did counted for Abraham. So he lived it all perfectly, the law fulfilled for Abraham and for us. And that righteousness in God's bank account, because of Jesus, went over to Abraham's. Not because he obeyed, not because he left his homeland. Those were all a result of faith. James says, you want to show me your faith? Put it in action. Put some feet to it. If you're not going to actually obey, means you don't believe. But the belief and the faith comes first. And so Abraham was counted as what? Righteous, perfect, because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. That's a dig. Good on you, Paul. That's a fun. You might not catch that. That's a dig. The Pharisees, the Judaizers, these Jews who were coming in and saying, Gentiles, you got to do this or this or this to even begin to be like us. We've gone to church all our lives. We've never gone to movies. I've never smoked tobacco, and I certainly have never done this or this or this. The Judaizers are saying, if you want to attain to us, you need to do this. And Paul says, actually, you think you're children of Abraham, but the real children of Abraham are those who have faith in God. Paul is quoting Genesis. So catch this. We're going there over the next whole chapter in a bit. We're going to flesh this out a little bit more, but just a bird's eye view. Before the law was put in place, the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, which is still God's perfect standard. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it for you because you couldn't. Anyone who could fulfill that perfectly, I mean, they have no sin. They have no sin. No need for a Savior, but we all do. So Jesus did it on our behalf. Before that was even said, God made a covenant with Abraham and said, through you, all people will be blessed. It's because you believed. It's because Abraham had faith before the law. So after the law, how do you believe? Through faith. How do you live in relationship with God? Faith. Faith. It's by faith you are saved. And it's by faith you follow Jesus. You can jump to the next one there, Spencer. There we go. It's by faith you are saved. It's by faith you follow. Okay, I don't like doing repeating, but we're going to do it. Let's say that together. It's by faith you are saved. It's by faith you follow Jesus. With the cross, the dividing line of belief, the way you come to Jesus and enter into relationship, go from death to life, is the same way you believe. What do most Christians do? Most get active in doing stuff. We got to clean up our behavior. There's a lot to do, and I got to do all this stuff on my own. And God's saying, no. Those things will come. I will do them in you. You can't do them because your efforts will fall short, just in the same way your efforts to be saved fall short. Religious activity leads to dead faith. It leads to dead faith. Louis talked about that. How many times did he go to the altar and do the right thing? But until God was there, until God came, until God did the work in his heart, there's no sticking power. Of faith in Jesus, that leads to life. Next verse, what's more? The scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago, he said, all nations will be blessed through you. It was God's plan all along. Finally, verse 9. So all, not some, all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing. That covenant that God made with Abraham, that all people would be blessed through him, it's our covenant. It's our blessing. It's not just for Abraham, it's for us too. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. What is the blessing? It's that covenant. Traditionally, it was understood as becoming a Jew or part of the nation of Israel. The blessing is being made new. The blessing is receiving God in us. In a few weeks, we celebrate Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just God with us, it's God in us. It's God through us. It's life by faith. You can't do this through religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a bunch of stuff you do to appease a God so hopefully you'll be good enough to get into heaven. We can't be good enough. And we still can't be good enough. So we trust and we have faith and we obey. You are forced to the same crisis as the Galatian Christians. You either choose Jewish law or empty religion or Christianity, all the stuff of it, what you do, empty, dead, just the actions, you go through the motions and be frustrated and wonder if it's real. Or you choose faith in Jesus, resting in him, and you ask him to have control of your life day after day. And when you look to his word, it becomes rich and sweet. And when you pray, it's not an activity. It's not something you should do. It's not a checklist where you go, God, I'm doing pretty good here. You know, can you answer this big request I've got? It's just simply resting in him. And you go to your Heavenly Father for things you can't do because you need that. For things in you and your community and your family, things you can't change, but things he can. Either you follow religion and try to be a good moral person, or you throw all that out the window and you say, God, I know you have much more for me, Christ in me. You literally want to make me into a little Christ. So when others look at me, they see Jesus. You believe by faith, you live by faith. How foolish to come to faith in Jesus. How foolish of me to come to faith in Jesus and have God do so much in my life. So many supernatural things. Sometimes I'm a little afraid of that. You know, I don't really want to tell God, do whatever you want, because things might get a little unexplainable, or I might not be able to, tell the church or my neighbor or so how this happened. That's the way it's meant to be. We shouldn't be able to explain everything, because God is God. His ways are higher than our ways. Does it mean we have blind faith? No, no. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and we have good reason to hope. That's why we use our minds as well. We need this as a church. I need this. I'm praying for it, for us, to live our lives more by faith than by sight, to live our lives more by what God can do in us than what we can do for us. We can accomplish a lot. We absolutely can on our own, with good behavior, biblical principles, good teaching. Heard someone say the other day, you know how you build a big church? Anybody can build a big church. You get a gifted speaker, a good worship team, some good leaders. Follow all the practices. Bend all the trends, and you'll get people in. But if you want to live a life of adventure and a life where you can't always keep up with where God's going, you need to walk by faith and not by sight. That means we'll need each other more. It's by faith we're saved. It's by faith we live. It's by faith you're saved. It's by faith you follow. How's your prayer life? If your prayer life is lacking, faith in Jesus will cause you to run to your Father all the time. Not because you're told, in every moment you should pray. How do I do that? I know monks can do that. Maybe I better learn that. But because it actually matters. You're linked to God. You're desperate for him. How's your biblical knowledge, your Bible reading? What if it wasn't a matter of, oh my gosh, I forgot again, or man, I'm feeling good? Because what if you were driven there because your faith, your belief was so deep and so rooted that this is God's words? Praying and reading his word and listening and seeing, look, it's all about hearing God. What if that defined your life? How's your witness? Faith in Jesus, listening to him, living by faith outside your knowledge and understanding every moment. We're getting to walking by the Spirit. This is what I'm talking about. Will transform your witness. Will change you into someone who wants to evangelize. And maybe I better make an opportunity to someone who's watching and listening. And God will give you opportunity to be a disciple maker, a fisher of people. That's what Jesus was here for. How's your victory over sin? Because if our old selves were nailed to the cross and it's no longer I who live, over time, God has a big view of our lives. Over time, our behavior, if we have faith in Jesus, if we continue to trust and do as he says, and when we're unvictorious, realize that in the moment we sin, we're already forgiven and we don't have to wallow and we don't have to run and we don't have to hide. In that moment, you have victory the moment you go back to Jesus. What if your behavior started matching your identity? My old self is gone. I now have a new spiritual nature with the Holy Spirit of God, all the fullness of God in me. It's by faith that you see that start to happen. He'll ask you to do things. Reading books, going to church, talking to people, accountability groups, all these things that haven't worked for you yet. Because maybe you're leaning on those instead of Jesus. Paul is saying to the Galatians, has someone cast a spell on you? Have you forgotten what this is all about? It's not about your activity or your actions. You couldn't come to faith in Jesus because of your actions, and you can't live by them either. I'll ask the worship team to come up as we close. We have to understand Galatians 2:20. My old self, the old me, has been crucified with Christ. Faith. I believe that to be true. Paul believed that to be true. We need to believe that to be 100% completely true. It's no longer I who live. Mm-mm. The life I'm living, the life in this earthly body, I live by trusting, by faith in a system, in a religion, no, in a person. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he still loves me and he still gives himself for me. He's still speaking. He's still working every moment of every day. God's will is right before us. We just need to get on board with what he's already doing. We just need to listen to what he's already speaking. We just need to do the things he's asking us to do because it's for our own good. So I want to ask you, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? And are you living by faith if you've done that? If you haven't placed your faith, your belief in Jesus, you got to do that. It's awesome. It's amazing. If you haven't lived daily by faith, it's unexplainable and unimaginable. It's everything that Jesus talked about, abundant life. Faith is the beginning point to all of those things. And if you try and move on to the deeper things that Paul will speak in Galatians and Romans and Corinthians, and don't get this faith bit, you're just going to try on empty behaviors that don't quite work because they're not meant to. Not meant to be you. May we be that kind of people, trusting in God to do what we can't. May we submit to God, lay down our lives, our abilities. Our old self is gone. And may we trust God to do great things. May I have faith in Jesus to do the impossible, that everyone who came to this altar last week and wrote a prayer on that sheet. And by the way, the elders, we prayed through those this week because we believe what you put down there and what you're struggling with and where you're at need not define you. And that the things you're trusting God to do physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially, he will answer. We believe it with all our hearts because we live by faith. My hope and my joy, my trust is that we as a family begin living more like that. And that amazing stories of healing, restoration, people coming to Jesus for the first time, that becomes the norm. And not the, wow, God did that? Okay. May it become the norm. That's what Paul's saying. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you haven't given us a system. And it's really hard sometimes, God, because we live in a society of drivenness. We see self-made people all the time. And in and of ourselves, those of us who are more driven and maybe a little harder working tend to achieve more, become more, and can look down our noses self-righteously at others. Thank you that you level the playing field. It's by faith we believe and become new. It's by faith that we follow. May we be your followers, following the way of Jesus. May we see you do greater things, God. We're trusting you for this. Lord, we don't want to say this is like a Gideon fleece, but we really need you to do these things. We're trusting you. We're not demanding.